All right, it's 3:01. We're going to go ahead and get the Land Use Committee meeting called to order. Let the record reflect. We have Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Diller, Councilman Bell, Weiner, Cartier, Smiley, myself, and my aide Valerie will be taking the notes. 367. Can I entertain a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of adopting the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Minutes are adopted. First item on the agenda, Councilman Cartier, will be removing this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the resolution in question of the amendment restrictions has not been removed effective. I'm going to withdraw it. Hopefully, take it through the second meeting in March, pending its modification and new requirements.
Yes. Also, very good point here. When you're out at your civic meetings, you run into somebody with initials BD. Pointful to point out that this is legislation we recently changed that said now when these come in, they have to come in with the resolution to change them. This would still been illegal. This came in last September or something, and they just sent the resolution over. But even if it had arrived with the plan, it still would have been illegal because it had the wrong title on it. However, now with the change that we did and went through for the modification of the deed restrictions here recently that I worked with Carol on, they have to come in together now. So that probably wouldn't help this because it still would have probably came in wrong. But Carol did pick it up, had some conversation with land use. So sponsor only seen it just yesterday, I think, or something. So it didn't even hit his desk. So it's one of those inadvertible things that, you know, is what it is. So hopefully with the moving forward, we'll be able to correct a few of these. Councilman Sheldon has now joined us. So now I'm going to turn this over to...
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Just one follow-up on the comment. I called the applicant to explain everything we've been explaining, and I made a promise to all the comments.
Well, tell them if they don't, they'll refuse to put it on the agenda.
Absolutely.
We could ply a hammer if we need. Okay, now we're moving on to land use. Who is our guest star?
Land use.
Attendees here today.
George Hyde. They're going to be on behalf of the land use department. We've got two presentations that we're going to make to you today, coming from our operational units. Our intention is to try to get all our operational units in for brief presentations, not all inclusive presentations, but to give you a sense of what everybody does, so you have a better understanding of it, and to if you've got questions about those individual things that we can talk about that. But we kind of started this is an intentional move on our behalf to try to make sure that everybody is exposed to. We have a lot of different moving parts in land use. They all come together at the end of the day, generally with plans that wind up in front of you or issues that you have and your constituents that you try to work with. So we're trying to give you a little exposure to that. We'll start off with the engineering section. We didn't know intentional order here for us, but the operation units that are prepared, but to make it an enabler engineering. Doug, the manager of the engineering section, is going to make the presentation in there for that. Then we'll have one for code enforcement today.
And as soon as Doug gets his presentation, how about we entertain some questions, just in case anybody has questions on that
Absolutely.
Section, and then we'll move in.
Okay. And I'm here. Doug can't answer them, but I'm here to go in place. Okay.
Councilman Powers has joined us.
Hi, Douglas.
All right. See if you can operate this thing.
Very good. I've never used this
one before. Oh, we've done that before. And I want to thank Reed for getting these over here to us ahead of time so they could be loaded on to the system so we were ready to go.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of council for giving me the opportunity to come and introduce myself and the members of our team. As we represent you to the community, I think it's important that you see some of the faces behind the names that you, I'm sure, have heard and perhaps know, and to have a better understanding of the experience and knowledge, skill sets that we bring to the county. So I just want to go through and just sort of show everybody, starting in the back row with myself. I started with the county fresh out of college. I attended the University of Delaware and graduated there in the year 2000. Shortly thereafter, in 2007, I received my certification as a professional engineer, and then approximately 2 years ago, I was asked to serve as the manager of this fine group. Working our way across the back, the little head you can see peeking out there is Craig Lynch. He's one of the three new members that we've added to our team this year. He is a graduate from the Michigan State University, and he is certified as an engineer in training, and this is really his first job in the engineering field, so he brings a lot of energy and youthful energy to our group. And on a personal note, he and his wife are expecting their first child, a son, this spring. There in the middle, in the green shirt, is Rich Saltzman. He's probably he's the most senior member of our team. He is a site inspector. He's been with the county since 1991. Prior to that, he worked for the Newcastle County Conservation District and then also Tetra Tech. Although he's not an engineer, he is a graduate from the University of Delaware as well. And he performs most of the site inspections for our group. Last year alone, he performed almost 1,400 inspections. So he's really the face of our operation out in the field for the contract. Mike Clendaniel there in the orange sweater, he is a professional engineer. He also serves as the engineering section site administrator of the inspection. So he oversees all of the inspections that we perform. He ensures that all the sites are in compliance with the approved plans. And he's been instrumental over the last year refocusing our efforts. I think for a long time we have been mostly a check to see if the silt fence, you know, the little black fence that you see around construction sites is up or not. And trying to make it more purposeful to the completion of the site so that at the end of the project, we're able to get their certificate of occupancy without things remaining open and outstanding. And John Geising, I'm sure most of you know and have worked with him. He's also a professional engineer. He's a certified floodplain manager. And with that certification, he serves as Newcastle County's floodplain administrator. He has led an effort for the county to provide a community service rating, CRS, through FEMA. And we have lowered our rating from a 10 down to an 8. And with that improvement, your constituents see a 10% reduction in their insurance premiums. He's recently worked to update our floodplain ordinance, and last year you guys approved that. And we're hopeful that with those improvements, which exceed minimum FEMA criteria, that we could see an improvement again of our CRS rating. To sort of give you an understanding of the significance of this particular effort, there were 22,000 communities identified in the floodplain program nationally. With our CRS rating of 8, it puts us in the top 5%. And we believe with the ordinance that has been passed and through the efforts of updating our application, we can move into the top 2% of the entire process. Going to the front row, you see Melissa Soisel. She is a student at the University of Delaware. She is taking classes with an environmental and emergency management concentration. She interned with us over the winter months, and while she was here, she helped organize and get in order our water management agreements. She went out and performed inspections with all of these sites to ensure that they were functioning and the maintenance had been performed as required. She also spent some time with the Department of Special Services and us learning our processes as we are responsible for the compliance with and the enforcement of all the requirements associated with the NQDES MS4 permit. I think most of you have probably heard about that. So, again, a lot of experience and exposure with our group. The young gentleman there in the blue shirt in the middle, his name is James Puddicombe. He is a graduate from the University of Delaware. After graduating, he went to the Army and served 5 years as an engineer officer with them and oversaw many construction and combat engineering operations. In addition to having his engineering and training certification, he also has his private pilot's license in and he has been sort of fundamental in leading our charge into the future of site inspections with his own personal drone, and I'll highlight that later. But again, he's one of the three engineers that we added to our team this year, and again, brings a lot of energy and is excited to work for Newcastle County. The gentleman in the front there in the black, his name is Chris Flathers. He's a professional engineer. He's only been with our group for a few months, but he brings a ton of experience and technical expertise to our team. He's already picked up a tremendous workload reviewing significant applications. You've probably met him maybe in some of these pre-submission meetings that we have with applicants and the developers. And he has jumped right into his role here. He's been filled with big shoes, and he's already organized technical work groups for us, and he's representing us at state regulatory committees down in Dover. And an individual that's not pictured here is Matthew Nyambega. He's going to be the newest member of our team. He's scheduled to start in about 2 weeks, March 14th. He is a graduate from Temple University. He is a graduate engineer at Kenya. He has an engineer and training certificate here in the state of Delaware, and is also a member of the American Society of Civil Engineers. So that was the engineering section, and you know, we bring more than 115 years of experience to the county, 45 years of those as professional engineers. So we're highly experienced and knowledgeable in the field, and last year alone we provided more than 1,300 reviews of plans and 2,300 site inspections. So we're out doing a lot of things. But in addition to the plan reviews and site inspections, which I think we're probably most known for, we are involved in a lot of other areas as well. We attend the pre-submission meetings, which I referred to earlier, and I'm sure you've met some of our team through those meetings. We are involved in the updating of codes. We're involved with the planning section and the EBC revisions. We're also involved with the state in their updates to the Delaware Sediment Stormwater Regulations. We work closely with the permitting section. We ensure that all the site obligations are met prior to building permits being issued, and again at the end before the certificate of occupancy is issued. We provide technical assistance to the building section. While they're responsible for lots, there are often cases that come up that exceed their expertise, and we come in to provide that expertise. When complaints are received, either from residents or through you, their representative council person, you know, we are quick to respond to see the issues that are of concern and bring those to resolution. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that process. And we're involved with many professional organizations as well. John serves as the Region 3 Director for the American Society of Floodplain Managers. Chris and Matthew are both members of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Mike is pursuing an office with the Delaware Association of Professional Engineers. And I serve on the Regulatory Advisory Council with the state and also at the University of Delaware for the Water Resources Council. So we manage, in addition to all that, we also manage various grants. And this is one that I'll highlight. We recently received for Port Penn. It's a flood mitigation and resiliency study due to sea level rise. And you can see John Geisling there holding the meeting with the state stakeholders at the Port Penn Fire Hall and making them aware of the grant initiatives and getting their feedback to their concerns. Looking forward, one new piece of equipment that we are interested in doing, here you go, that works, is a drone. And we have completed some testing, and there is a recent video that we've taken. This was taken in the middle of January of this year, so about 6 weeks ago. And this is the community of High Hook. It's in Council Bell's district. It's sandwiched, it's right off of Vance Neck Road, which you see there, dotted the frame. To the left is the future community of Baymont Farms, and to the right is Ponds of Odessa. It's approximately a 200-acre site. There will be 387 homes constructed here, 214 of which will be single families. and 40 twins, and the remaining 133 account members. So in this video, you're seeing many different phases of construction. You can see homes that are lived in. You can see sediment traps that will ultimately be converted to buyer retention cells. You can see roads that are installed. You can see areas that are being upgraded and areas that are being stabilized. This area that you see of a green dye is hydroseed. It's a seed newspaper combination that they spray to stabilize those areas. You can see sediment traps. You can see actually them in the process of hydroseeding. The site here, areas that have been bulk created. They're putting in parking lots, putting in a curb, digging foundations for a new set of homes. You can see them installing utilities. And you note here, there's a swale that's already stabilized. One of the things that we look to have accomplished before they start building homes is having all the open space areas stabilized and functioning. You can see lots under construction here, homes being built, stockpiles being relocated, the topsoil being used in various locations, and just a site that's fully under development. And so we have over 100 active sites in the county that we oversee and maintain. So that's the end of the video and the end of my slides. Just sort of open it up for any questions you might have, and thank you for your time and attention.
Let's have a few questions for members of council. Anybody waiting on code? Oh, Councilman Bill.
I'd just make a comment that I think it's very informative to hear some of the background, the educational background, and you know, we're very blessed to have the majority of our personnel come from the University of Delaware and participate in the University of Delaware. And you know, so I think from the background, the educational, your involvement in different boards and groups and everything, I think it's very impressive for us as a county to take a look at the caliber of the employees, qualified employees that we have.
Councilman Weiner.
I just want to second. That was a great presentation for all the reasons cited by Councilman Bell. Really appreciated it and really impressed with the growth.
Yeah.
Councilman Cartier.
Of course, you know, we've known for years we have an excellent administration. You know, I just want to thank all the talent. It's a difficult
You think you're telling me
this drone thing is fascinating.
Some of our preliminary studies show that we can reduce our inspection time on these sites by as much as 40% over our traditional method of having to walk in all the areas. And we can see the site, understand where the areas of interest are, go to those locations and investigate them on foot. And then we have a permanent record that we can, you know, show to everyone to clearly say the issues are important. So
when you
divide the cut you off.
No, I think you I really hadn't thought you're on the ground with this and up in the air, and you're really understanding where it can be applied. I think I look at it from the point of view of the community, where, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, sitting here looking at paper plans, they can't imagine what it is.
Very two-dimensional.
Right. With this, see it, understand it. It'd be nice to have a situation where you have pre-development in the process complete, so you have a record, and working with communities, show them how this is going to look laid out. Because a lot of times you get people just trying to go, this won't work because it can't work. They can't visualize it.
Right.
Having images like that, I just see all kinds of potential ways to work with people in the communities where you have it, especially that organization in the community trying to figure out how's this going to happen.
I think it allows them to see beyond their personal community too, to see how they fit into the community as a whole.
Councilwoman Diller, and then I got Councilman Smiley.
I just have a question. You know, we've seen the drones, but I'm just curious, since you are the presentation What other technology will shape the future of the work that you do besides the drone technology? I mean, is there software you're looking at? I'm just curious the role technology will play in making all of this happen in the future.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I've only been with the county for about 16 years, and since then we've seen GIS play. And, you know, we used to have to go out and drive to a site to get even the first blush of it. Now you can pull up satellite imagery that's probably only a year old, all the GIS layers, and the topography, floodplain, wetlands, I mean, just numerous. You can have a really good understanding of the site and how it functions without ever getting up on your desk in a matter of minutes. And then when you go out to do an inspection of the site, you know where you need to focus, where the issues are most likely to be. Now we're moving towards a drone with site inspections, and we're trying to get to a place where we're using smartphones, which we've also just recently acquired for the team, where we can put the inspection checklist on the phone. We'll go through, everything is right in your hand, we can bring up plans, we can bring up any kind of codes or regulations we might need, and if we see something, take a picture, you take a video, and then you can clearly communicate that back to the contractor, the developer, or constituents, elected officials, and there's no confusion. We're moving towards project documents, I'm sure you've heard, where we're looking at getting our submissions in electronically. So we're moving through more and more of a paperless work product. There's a lot of things moving, and I mean, that's only been in the last 10 or 15 years.
Councilman Smiley?
I'm just going to ask that all of the department heads or whatever communicate with one another, because we just saw a presentation that involved a drone that they're running for free, for they're paying $300 a month to have to go over there. So just intercommunications within the county. So like, we go out, market, meet, how many drones do we need? You know, we don't need like we had before where we had a ton of cars that we didn't need, you know. But if you need two or three, you get your best price. I'm just saying, communication between the departments. I just ask that that take place to expand our purchasing power and greater utilize whatever that we do purchase.
We don't even have a drone yet.
No, and neither do that. And neither do the other, neither do special services. But yeah.
No, I understood, and you know, we certainly want to make sure that we're using the tools and they're not sitting on the shelf. But it's certainly a technology that's sort of in its infancy as far as land use is concerned. We've been coordinating with the Department of Public Safety, dealing with some of the different policy issues that go along with using the drone. And so we want to make sure that we have those questions answered and addressed prior to fully going full scale.
I agree. Thank you.
Councilman Powers?
You were saying that GIS, I mean, it's probably an ag in 20-some years. It was, they weren't letting the technology, the military out to what they have today. With corn being planted, it used to be to try to get a straight row. We've gone, you know, it started off with just plotting off fields to know where the yields were. Then it became yield monitors to what areas off of GPS. Now the tractors are automatic drive. They used to be you had to turn it around. You didn't have to turn it around, and that's how they keep the straight rows now, is it's off the GPS. They're within an inch to 3 inches of what they should be. And ag's been using them probably 20, 25 years.
I was actually at the University of Delaware yesterday, and we were talking about some of the overlapping issues between the ag and stormwater management. Of course, nitrates being one of the key nutrients that is a concern to the Bay, working with farmers to make sure that not only nutrients are applied at the right times, but watering too, how that affects the runoff, and making sure that all of these different agencies are working together to make sure that we have
And you may not know, the sprayers and the spreaders that are spreading fertilizer now, because they know the crop on that certain soil won't take it up and won't yield that much, it'll reduce the fertilizer. There's no overlap of spray anymore. A sprayer is 350,000 and 60 feet long, what happens is it'll start shutting off where it overlaps. It's a lot of money, but it's our yields the other day, and it does go with soils, the same thing. When they started ethanol in 06, 35% of the crop went to ethanol. Our yields have now surpassed the 35% along with everything else. And it's just because of a lot of the technology.
Okay, so that's why you weren't answering your phone yesterday when I was calling. Councilman Sheldon?
On-site inspections, number one, are we keeping up with them? And then number two, I guess, how many people do on-site inspections as far as the work itself, foundation, footings, foundation, framing?
Well, the inspections related to a building are done by building inspectors, so that's not really,
from you.
That's a different group.
Okay.
Our focus is really on site activity, the earth moving, the erosion sediment controls.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Well, hey, Councilman Bell.
Just one more suggestion, you know, and Councilman Smiley brings up an excellent point about, you know, coordinating efforts in our future as far as accounting. Just a suggestion, because I know that not too long ago there was a drone flying over some areas in the southern part of the county, and our 911 center got numerous calls. So it may be just an open line of communications. If you plan on doing some work in a certain area, is just to give the center a call and say, hey, you know, this is county engineering. We're going to have a drone up in the air for the next couple hours in this area and everything. I think that kind of alleviates some of the problems if our folks are aware of what's going on. But you'd be surprised how many people reach for that phone or the cell phone and, you know, and exactly. I mean, if it's, you know, that's just a suggestion.
For the most part, where we're operating,
especially we're looking
like talking with the police department, one of the things that they're looking into is the reverse 911 calls, so that when they're operating, they're being proactive.
Great. Doug, I want to thank you for your presentation. You know, I'll give a little shout out to you while you're here. I mean, Doug has really emerged as, you know, somebody as a leader, and his expertise and knowledge in that department has just been, you know, invaluable with dealing with some of these issues that have been going on. And I know when some of them has, you know, arisen and the constituents reached out to us. Thank you, Councilman Powers. And we've had to get a hold of his office. I really was a bit frustrated and wonder where we were going to go with this, but Doug's, again, his knowledge and expertise in this stuff is just, you know, almost, you know, I want to say, you know, like a bulldog. He's just really been out there. He's been addressing the issues. He knows his section, you know. He definitely deserves to be in charge of it, because when these things come up, he knows what's going on, he knows what's happening, he knows what has to be done. And as we see in every single thing we deal with, we'll get kicked back on the developers, and he kicks it right back. So thank you for that, because we're the first line of contact for our constituents. You know, whenever they become frustrated, whenever they get bogged down, generally they're not calling you, they're calling us. You know, and we then to reach out to you, which we do often. I know, George. Thank you. All right, next we have Code.
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Day. I'm the Land Use Administrator for Code Enforcement. I'd like to thank everybody for giving me this opportunity to give you an update. I'm going to touch on four brief points today: human resources of code enforcement, some abatements I wanted to highlight, training that the code officers are undergoing, and some opportunities we have for improvement. Code enforcement has 30 funded positions. We currently have four vacancies. That includes two code enforcement officers and two complaint specialists. Two vacant code enforcement officers are a result of promotions of two of the officers to chief field supervisor. The two vacant complaint specialist positions are being processed. We have had three recent promotions. Jack Gahan and Debbie Phillips recently have been promoted from Certified Property Maintenance and Housing Inspector to Chief Field Supervisor.
So who do I have down?
Sorry?
Jack was always in my Phil Powers.
So just a little bit on Jack. Jack was hired in July of 2000 as a Code Enforcement Officer. I was promoted to Certified Property Maintenance and Housing Inspector in December of 2006. Jack previously served 6 years as a patrol officer with Newcastle County in the Detectives Division. Jack has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from the University of Delaware. Debbie was hired by Newcastle County in February of 99 as Code Enforcement Officer. I was promoted to Certified Property Maintenance and Housing Inspector in April of 2009. Debra previously was employed by the City of Wilmington as a police officer, where she worked in patrol, detectives, community policing, missing persons, and evidence. From 97 to 99, she was employed by the University of Delaware as a police officer. As Chief Field Supervisors, Jack and Debra will provide supervision of the daily operations and will assist Code Enforcement Officers with case management. Additionally, they will provide quality control and provide support for problem property cases. Al Washington has been... Al approved this picture.
I was going to say.
What day was this?
That was just earlier today, actually. I said, Al, you look so mean in the picture. But Al has actually been employed by the county for 19 years, and on July 1st, he was promoted to Land Use Administrator. In this position, Al will manage all the customer service and support staff functions and will assist in the direction and management of the delivery of all services provided by customer relations and code enforcement. Al has served as the acting manager of code enforcement, customer relations, and assistance for 3 years, and as an assistant land use administrator for 8 years. Al's many accomplishments include his work with community government and on the development and implementation of the county's residential rental code, ticketing, and vacant property registration. And Al is a huge asset to us in code enforcement. His knowledge of the process and system that is in place right now is really unprecedented. He's really invaluable to the operation. So next we're going to go into abatements. Some of the ones that we have completed, actually what you're looking at isn't after we tore it down. This was after the fire. They actually brought Delbot in during the fire to knock the house down. So just to explain it a little bit, this is 9 Brevis Avenue. It's located off of Newcastle Avenue. Obviously it was severely damaged by fire. Really contained an inordinate amount of contents in this, and that's really what caused the collapse. I guess as they were spraying the water, the contents absorbed the water, the second floor collapsed in the first floor. This is what we ended up with. We did pay our third-party vendor to go out and I'll say demolish, but really turning the lot off. So Code Enforcement Officer Jose Perez spearheaded this project, coordinating with our third-party vendor and the homeowner, because the homeowner still had stuff inside that he wanted to move out of the property. So we can try and coordinate with them. Again, this is one of our demolitions. This was actually completed in November of 2015. This is 2650 Abington Road. The demolition of this was actually concluded 2 weeks ago. This was a fatal fire in Dartmouth Woods. We ended up coordinating with the fire marshal's office on this property. This is at the end of the fire. The fire marshal's office deemed it unsafe to actually finish their investigation. So we coordinated with them and our demolition contractor to meet them on site so that they could make the property safe so they could go in and finish their investigation. And then obviously we went through and demolished it. And this was Code Officer Chris Yasek's project. So, and this is the after from demolition.
Thank you.
This is 113 Bacon Avenue. And this property has had ongoing code violations really since 2002, just about every violation you could think of. These pictures really give you no idea how bad it was. It was a corner property in the Wilmington Manor area. Highways and grass, trash and debris, regular parking on the grass, unregistered vehicles, and a whole bunch of other violations that we really really couldn't get traction on. So more recently, we started using different methods, going out there on a regular basis, like a daily basis, meet with the homeowner, trying to get some success that way. We held a rule of show cause hearing. We go out, end up ticketing the cars, and we started getting some action. So in the end, the property owner removed the unregistered vehicles, but we still had to vacate the property because we need to clean it up. So just a few of the pictures. And again, these really don't even do it justice. The property was certainly an eyesore. This is the after, the side yard here, and the rear yard. I know the community is happy. I wanted to say also that Karen Messner from the County Police, Sergeant Messner, was a huge asset. Every time we went out there and every time our vendor went out to the site, we needed the police. They know the owner of this property well and had issues with him before. So they were really helpful in coordinating that effort. And this was actually handled by Court Officer Vic Morgan and Chris Shetzler. So this is 126 State Line Road. And I wanted to show this one. It seems like it's kind of an odd abatement. We actually finished this abatement today. It's been going on since 2014. Obviously, the violation here is debris in the yard. The neighbors have been tired of these 10 to 12 foot logs in the yard. We sat on this abatement for a while because the price for our third party vendor to remove this, our third party vendors are used to removing trash and debris, and to do something like this is really out of their scope of work. So we kept thinking on and figuring it out. So we finally contacted the Forestry Division of Special Services. They agreed to go up and meet with us at site to see if they were capable of actually doing the abatement. Agreed that they were. They started the abatement yesterday and finished it today. So Paul Johnson from Special Services and Frank Graves have been invaluable in helping us get this, but they did conclude the abatement today. So we're knocking this one off the list, thankfully.
Thank you again.
Now, this was Officer Chris Yasek actually handled this project.
Chairman, what
question? Just a question. Why are there logs? It looks like a yard. I mean, for down my way, that's not normal.
In previous complaints, there was a logging operation at the home. Somewhere along the line, there was logging. That complaint, I'll say in 2010-11, got closed out. The gentleman that owned the property kept telling us he wanted to use these logs to construct in addition to his house.
He's got to have a sawmill.
So, well, and that's what we talked about. And he had said that he was going to bring a portable mill on site. We gave him extensions, and it just got to the point where we gave him one last one and said, if we can't do it anymore, we're going to vacate the property if we don't have it. So the Forestry Division and the police out there yesterday and today. No issues. The property owner, obviously after yesterday, knew we were there. Didn't have any issues today. I talked to the code enforcement officer before coming here, and actually a couple of the neighbors had approached him and thanked him too. So, but again, this is one of those ones where we are trying to be fiscally responsible. We're not just out spending money, we're trying to find the best way to spend the money. And again, a lot of credit goes to Paul Johnson and Special Services for helping us out with this one.
The State Line Road is the State Line of the Concord Pike in Pennsylvania.
So this is the Delaware side?
Yes.
Why did he put them across the road?
But the trees came from Pennsylvania.
Probably.
So 101 Kingswood Road. This home was severely damaged in August by a fire, as you can tell. Last week, code enforcement awarded the bid to Castle Construction for the demolition. They've already completed the sewer and water disconnection, and we're in the process this week of getting a demolition permit for it. So I would say by the end of next week that this house will be demolished.
Is that fire damage?
That is fire damage, yes.
Can I jump in there?
Councilman Smiley.
See that trash can at the corner of that house? that's one of the biggest problems that we seem to have. When you take a property down, you can't get the refuse company to come pick up their cans. I've hauled three of them and dumped them in their offices. And that seems to be, I mean, it seems like a small thing, but it's not, because the contractor moves that out to the front, and at least in my district, it becomes a neighborhood trash site on the sidewalk, because they won't come pick them up. Okay, how many times you said? I think that's one thing we need to coordinate everywhere when we're doing the house. Have them come out and get them before you take the house down, or have them throw it in the truck with the rest of the trash and haul them out of there. But at least in my district, that's what happens. They get put out, the contractor rightfully so moves it away, puts it out front, and you can call and call, and they just don't. And you'll ride by and you'll see the can gradually get fuller and fuller, then it overflows, then you end up at the box spring, the this, the that, so.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
And also on this, and I want to thank Reed, we're working on legislation on these burned homes, because they've basically fallen to a void in our code, and this is an abandoned home. Nobody was living here and it burned, it's an abandoned home. So.
The next aspect I wanted to talk about, I'm sorry.
Just what he's.
Councilman Powers?
With the abandoned home.
Need to call for
I mean, is that with the insurance companies taking so long? Because even in Middletown itself, I watched the house that burnt 6 months, and it's up there with yellow tape around it before anybody even took it down.
Yes, generally I would say that most of the burnouts that we have are because of the insurance company. However, this one, the homeowner did not have insurance.
Yeah, but I mean,
and we have received a lot of calls and complaints about that, but routinely what we're seeing is that the homeowner and the mortgage company are fighting about the settlement, and most people want to get back in their home and get it repaired. But generally, we're saying it from 4 to 6 months before something actually starts happening.
I mean, this was St. Andrews. It's not a county. It's the one in Middletown. St. Andrews. Yeah, St. Andrews or something. I mean, they're $1 million homes, and that burnout show was there for 6 months before it ever. I mean, if that's on the state law, that's the insurance commissioner. I mean, we had a problem even at the firehouse in Towns End getting it down through the insurance company, you know, ever paying. I think you even knew some about that. I mean, somebody's got to address this. This is a problem.
You can thank Reed. I've been working with him. We are.
But I'm saying it sounds like it needs to be something done on the state issue for these insurance companies to pay to get them out of here.
Well, they're locked up too to the state fire marshal, because they have to conduct an investigation, and if it's something lengthy where it takes a while, that could, you know, prolong their investigation as far as a cut and dry where they could determine it was a pot on the stove, but sometimes that hinders it. But. Keep it rolling, Joey. Yeah, I like to keep my meeting short.
So the last aspect I want to talk about was the training for the officers. They all recently went through verbal judo. Most of the officers did go through that about 3 or 4 years ago, but it was time to update it again. Their ASP baton training is actually scheduled for April 18th at the Police Academy. Chief Field Supervisor Debbie Phillips and Code Enforcement Officer Brent Rhodes will be attending the EDUCODE conference from March 21st to March 25th. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because these conferences have cutting edge classes. And so a couple of the ones that they will be attending are entitled Foreclosures and Abandonments and Compliance Connections. Another one's Dealing with Foreclosures, Bankruptcies, and Receiverships. And the third one is actually Introduction to Drones. So, we like to go to these conferences so we can keep up to date and make sure that we have all the
tools. You're going to have a drone in your
compliance. So they'll also be attending a Delaware Building Officials Association class in April, and they do receive online courses from the ICC in this.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Verbal judo, I think I know what it is, but just like to hear.
Verbal judo is actually a
class. Can you practice on it?
It's actually a communications class.
So what's the judo part?
That really teaches verbal deflection. It really teaches you to not be personal, not take the insults and whatever they're saying personally and deflect it, and how you respond back to them. You know, I hear what you're saying. How can I help you? you know, that type of thing, but it is a definitely a verbal deflection class.
I could teach that class.
Yeah, but I don't think they want you to
it's
do
all
what
about
you would do.
Staying impersonal.
Or me either.
With the person. That's actually conducted by Corporal Tracy Duffy from the county police conducted that class.
Oh, Dr. Phil.
Very good. So lastly, I wanted to talk about some opportunities for improvement. The key thing I want to hit on is sheriff sales. So code enforcement has developed a draft process that would enable us to systematically recommend vacant properties to the law department for sheriff sale based on the number of inspections, number of abatements, abatement fees, and the condition of the property. This process would identify properties that have consumed significant code enforcement resources and continue to threaten the neighborhood stability. So we want to be able to recommend to the law department on a regular basis properties to go to sheriff sale. What we see is these properties, we are maintaining them year after year after year, and there's no end in sight for a lot of them. We may fix something on the house, but then we continue to cut the grass. And these vacant houses, we don't have the money or the budget to actually fix the gutters and the roofs and the sides and the windows. So we got to get to the end of the line somewhere with them. And we believe that for many of the ones that we're looking at, that the sheriff's sale is the way to go and get them into a new productive owner's name. And for the county to recoup their abatement costs and property taxes. The vacant property registration, Jim Smith and Al and I have been working with Stephanie Tickle from the law department, and I believe that we have finalized the clarification language needed for the vacant property registration. So I believe that will be coming within a couple days. Code enforcement has also been working with Attorney Stephanie Tickle to identify the hurdles for expanding ticketing to include Chapter 40, which is the UDC, and Chapter 4, which is the animals chapter of the county code, specifically for dog excrement, sign, home occupation, and sale of motor vehicle violations. So we want to expand ticketing to include them. Right now, it does not allow us to do that. The ticketing is limited to violations of Chapter 7. We do want to expand it because we think those are easy ones to expand into and are the majority of our violations that we don't have, that we don't issue tickets for. And then the adoption of the 2015 International Property Maintenance Code. We do have a working draft. Some of the stuff that we're talking about here will probably be incorporated into the working draft. There's a couple other things we'd like to expand ticketing to in the Property Maintenance Code, so that would be included in the new draft. In closing, I'd just like to recognize the loss of Donna Thompson. Donna was the heart and soul of code enforcement for at least as long as I've been in land use at Newcastle County. She was a very kind and caring person, but was very passionate about her job. Donna knew at the end what was coming, and we would go in to talk to her, and she'd tell us, "Oh, I'm coming back to work, I'm going to be organized, I got a bunch of new ideas, I want to do this, I want to do that." So, I mean, to the end, Donna loved her job. I mean, she lived to come to work and be with them people, and was a great asset. I was, you know, I'm really glad that I had the fortune to work with her, if it only be it for a couple months. But I did want to recognize her at the end. She will be sorely missed by all of us.
Right. Questions of members of council? Councilman Cardi, any?
I just want to follow up on the comment about she's a very brave person. Such a community. One of the important people. What about it?
Additional questions, Councilman Woman Dewey?
Can I just ask about the demolitions? About how much does it cost us to to keep something down, like some of the examples you gave?
So our average is about 16,000. So we have seen them as high as 23, 24, and as low as 8 to 12. So the one that we've seen previously on Revis Avenue that was kind of already down was $12,000 to do that. So, and just to give you a little background, we have three demolition contractors that are approved that we can use at will. However, with each demolition, we actually bid it out to all three, try and get the lowest price so we can, you know, save the money. So, yeah, but we're about $16,000 for a demolition.
So, when the property is taken down, can we sell that property? Do we repeat anything?
Not right now.
Not right
now. And that's why we want to be able to recommend properties to share sale. Because what's happening is, like at 9 Revis, we pay $12,000 for that, $12,000 for the demolition. We send the demand letter. Obviously, you know, usually don't get paid from the demand letter. Then we file a lien, and the lien stays on the property until it's transferred. But many of these properties, we've been sitting waiting for that lien money, not code enforcement, but our general fund, waiting for that money to come back for years. So really what we get to the point is we're giving somebody an interest-free loan, which is again why we would like to be able to recommend properties to go to share sale, and including one of the priorities on that would be properties that we have demolished or properties that we have repaired structurally. Because they're the biggest cost.
Well, they can't get the letter. You took their mailbox. You got another way.
They left the trash can.
Got an email. Oh, use the drone. Skywrite.
Jim,
if I could follow up on that for just a minute, because code enforcement activities collect on average about 60% of what is expended. And these properties that you see that we're talking about, one of the reasons we showed them, and we ran the risk of showing them to all of you, recognizing you all probably have properties in your district that you'd like to have taken down as well, and we're going to try to do that. In order to do that, what we're trying to mesh with your purchasing of these properties and getting them sold as quickly as possible so we can recover the 60% that they take in for the most part. The tax year they're going to pay the revenues that they haven't created already. The liens, if they're on a vacant property, they're not going to incur it until the property gets sold and repurposed. So we're trying to do a hand-in-glove operation with this where we recognize that we can't keep spending money, like cutting the grass and fixing a window or fixing the door or something like that. Our first target is the properties are vacant. We're not living there. So we have a whole criteria for going down. But if you do those, you know, people choose them, and they represent a significant amount of money that we're covering. So in going through this conversation and discussion about how we get these things done, we started to see there are pieces that we need to bring together, and we're in the process of working with the law department, working with the executive office, and working with third person as well, to try to bring that together so that we have exposure time where our loss is less than. We'll go into this in a little bit more detail if you're going to get back to us again for the presentation. Actually, show you the numbers and let's see what we have to do. We cover the cost for one of the things that we do. We don't cover the cost of the operational component of this, but we're also looking at, and in the rest of land use, we cover this cost. We're also looking at that model and saying, if it works for the rest of us, it works for this group, you know, as well. So we're going to try to focus on this. You're really seeing those ideas drip into you. Now, as we continue to get better and get more focused in terms of making sure what we're doing, code enforcement is really about making sure we're back. It's not just about fixing somebody's problem or something like that. So it's not just, if we just go out and fix the problem or address the particular problem,
we could postpone it, but you know, we're shot more than we can. We didn't kill the thing, we just postponed it, but they're trying to be more intentional about what we're doing and how we're going about it. And one last thing before I go, just see if, you know, Joe's a little bit modest. You know, when Joe came here, 99, Joe came here, and one of the things that we were going to do was having certain types of facilities, change over, where we were trying to make it. Well, Joe's 3 months got qualified his certification to serve our buildings, but he eventually moved on to planning for the plan review process for building plan reviews to manage that in our operation as well. And then since becomes a certified building official with that, he's been instrumental, he's been the chairman for the Delaware group for Region 7 of ICC. He's very accomplished. He's also a good chief, I think, current service chief, the volunteer part of what he's doing. So he's got his credentials as well. He's a little modest to mention this. And we took some of his talents and asked him to be, you know, part of the program operation as well. So we can start to take a look at that and personalize what we should do along the way, help Jimmy out. You know, some of them along the way. Eric, what we hear the most about in New York is COVID. It's COVID was one of my things along the way. We have to call to get to somewhere else and we try to accommodate them, accommodate you as best we can. I think we're taking a longer look at that and seeing if we can accommodate and solve the problem more permanently than temporarily. That'll be a theme that you're going to continue to hear.
Councilman Smiley.
That's what I'm going to have. I'll pass to my elder.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you. I'm his elder. Just two comments. I couldn't agree more with George about that. You know, when you look at Joe Day, not just the professionalism and his experience in code enforcement, but his involvement in the community. He truly is a leader, both in his job and in his community. But what I wanted to mention is that when we talk about havoc that these vacant properties cause, there's a burden to be paid by public safety. And you saw several of them that the fire department had to respond and spend countless hours there fighting fire. There's always a risk of injury, the use of the apparatus and everything. So, and then there's the vagrants, and there's the drugs, and there's the hookers. So they really help to bring additional havoc on other county resources and on the community. So I think your initiative to try to go to the sheriff's sale, we have numerous properties in our districts that every year you're trying to figure out how you're going to try to maintain them and get the grass cut and everything else so that folks can live in our community. A lot of these folks, banks are in the state. People move and they leave their homes and everything else. So I think your initiative, the job that you're doing and where you're heading is fantastic.
Councilman Cartier.
Truly, there is no service that can go daily, weekly, on a basis.
Councilman Powers.
Just
the part with the sheriff's sale, Jim, it took us 5 years to get something straightened out, Fox Run. In it, I think you kind of hit on part of it. Some of these are abandoned because the banks aren't doing anything with it. And somebody's got, you know, they should be paying for it or whatever. But, you know, when you looked at, you told me that house was abandoned, you know, and you showed them before, when they tore it down, the neighborhood probably likes it better than it's just a grass yard instead of having an abandoned house.
Oh, sure. Councilman Smiley?
I'm just going to quickly say, for somebody that has them in the district, spent years, they like it better with the house going.
Yep.
But they'll start calling about the high weeds and grass as soon as the weather breaks. Yep. And then they call in the winter and want to know who's going to clear the sidewalk. Yep. Wow. And I tell them, call Deldot because it's in there right away.
They don't
but they do. No good deed goes unpunished.
Well, then again, any questions from the public? No? Well, there again, you know, as we've heard, you know, code is a vital organ within this county. It's something that, you know, we work heavily with. It's something we depend on. It's something that we really need to have a strong department there. You know, it needs to be a full complement. Hopefully, you didn't mention replacing the two code officers, but you did the two other ones. So hopefully you are working on the two code officers.
Replace them. The two promotions just happened 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So we are trying to get complaint specialists in place and then go after them.
And I'm a firm believer, I mean, in order for us to revive our economy and attract businesses, it takes many more pieces of that puzzle than let's just throw money at that company, you know, and it's going to take building our communities up, making them strong, get rid of these problem properties out there, you know, the abandoned registration that we were talking about, that and making the mortgage company step up. It's something we're tweaking and need to get in here, but you're doing a wonderful job with what you have. I'm happy that you came on with Jim. I don't think he has enough still. I think he needs more. So I don't know how many other ones we can recruit or not, but let's get him more help, please. So, again, thank you.
All of us.
Yeah. Right.
That's so profound.
All right. Anybody have anything under other? The public come with anything? Entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor. Let's go.